What a wonderful, wonderful song. Thank you so much. Today I have the privilege and honor to read the scripture from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 4 through 11. And as they were singing that song, I thought about, I was baptized as a baby. But then probably about 14 years ago, I was attending a church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina called Church on the Rise. It was a Assembly of God church. And I made the choice to get water baptized there. What an amazing, special day that was to go down in the water in their baptismal font and be raised up. And I just was thinking about that as they were singing that song and how special that was to make a public declaration to everybody that I was changed and baptized in the waters. So listen to the scripture, and this is John the Baptist prepares the way. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around the waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wow, what a holy moment it is when any pastor baptizes a child, a youth, an adult. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Holy moment. At Jesus' baptism, the thing that I really love is that voice that spoke over him, his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. And that voice said, "You're beloved. I'm proud of you." Before Jesus even started his ministry, before Jesus did anything, he was receiving the unconditional approval and love and mark of God upon his life. And it was out of that certainty that Jesus was able to go and to give his life to others in need. Very simply said, our baptism is the mark in our life that God speaks over us those same words. So very important that we believe who we are and whose we are. In a world that pronounces so many of us not worthy, what might it mean to believe that we are indeed chosen, precious, and beloved? Janet Wolfe shares this story. She actually wrote a devotion that appeared in the Upper Room Disciplines in 1991, and this story is there. And it goes like this. In their church, there was a new member class, and in that new member class, the subject of baptism came up. And they were talking about baptism and what it meant, and was there anyone who had not been baptized who would like to be baptized? And there was a young woman there named Fayette who said she had not been baptized and she wanted to be baptized. And so they talked with her, and she was special because she literally came off the street as a homeless person. She had lupus. She struggled with mental illness. And so explaining baptism to this person really was a way to explain it in such a way that anybody and everybody can understand what it means to be baptized. And so they said, well, Fayette is sort of like this. When you go down in the waters and you come up out of the waters, God is saying to you, you are a beloved, precious child of God and beautiful to behold. And every time they would tell her that, Fayette would get up and dance and say, tell me again, who am I, who am I? And they said, Fayette, when you come up out of the waters, God's voice is telling you, you are a beloved, precious child of God and beautiful to behold. And she said, I can't wait to be baptized. I can't wait to be baptized. The whole church couldn't wait for her to be baptized. And so she was baptized. And when she came up out of the water, they sang, you are beloved, precious child of God, and beautiful to behold. That might be the only church that really fully experienced a baptism and understood what it meant that day. But two months later, Janet received the call. Fayette had been beaten, raped, and she was in the county hospital. Janet went down to the county hospital and she went into the examination room and she saw Fayette standing before the mirror with her hair streaked with blood, her face tarnished with dirt. But she was looking at herself in the mirror and she was saying in a rather staccato way, I am... Beloved, I am beloved. I am beloved, precious child of God. She turned around and she saw Janet there. Janet smiled. Fayette smiled. She turned back to the mirror and she said, I am beloved, precious child of God. God's still working on me. And if you'll come back later, I'll be as beautiful as you've ever seen me. She was remembering her baptism when she needed most to remember that. That's such a powerful story to me because it tells us that our deepest abiding identity is that we are beloved, precious children of God and beautiful to behold. No matter what happens to us or what our experiences may be or no matter what others may tell us who we are or who we aren't, our baptism is the mark of God upon our lives. This is who you are. And so remember who and whose you are. I believe that a person's spiritual life really begins at that place when they hear those words spoken over them. I believe that's where it truly begins. You see, God is the voice that first tells us that we're loved. The voice before our mothers, the voice before our fathers, the voice before our friends. But so often, even their love is imperfect. And so often, love comes to us in ways that are less than perfect. Sometimes love doesn't come to us at all. And sometimes we're wounded. And sometimes we're hurt. And sometimes we're abused. And it's hard to get beyond the abuse and the scars and the tarnishes. But if we can go back beyond the hurt, the wounds, if we can go beyond everything that's been spoken about us or upon us, if we can go back, we'll hear that voice, you are loved. You are beloved, precious child of God, beautiful to behold. Martin Luther, mostly, he baptized infants as we do ourselves as Methodists. We baptize people of all ages. But a person asked Martin Luther, well, you know, you baptize a baby, and then the baby grows up, makes a profession of faith, joins the church, and then you tell that person to remember their baptism. Well, how in the world can they do that? They were a baby. Well, I remember my baptism and I was a baby. Not. But I tell myself that I remember my baptism. I tell myself that I remember it. Because I believe what was spoken over me when I was baptized. And that's what Martin Luther meant. Remember your baptism. Remember that words were spoken over you of who you are. You were set apart and marked as a child of God. Henry Nouwen spoke at Skerrick-Benedict College many years ago. And he incorporated some of this in his talk. And I'd just like to share a bit of his talk because it sums up everything I want to say to you today. Listen to what God is saying to us. You are my child. You are written in the palms of my hand. I have molded you in the secret of the earth. I have knitted you together in your mother's womb. You belong to me. I am yours. You are mine. I have called you from eternity, and you are the one who is held safe and embraced in love from eternity to eternity. You belong to me. And I am holding you safe, and I want you to know that whatever happens to you, I am always there. I was always there. I am always there. I will always be there and hold you in my embrace. You are mine. You are my child. You belong to my home. You belong to my intimate life. And I will never let you go. And I will be faithful to you. So today is a good day to invite you to remember your baptism. And as we come to the Lord's table, this is yet again to hear some precious words. My body and my blood given for you. What more can God do to convince us of who we are? What more can God do? So come to the table. Hear the words you need to hear. Receive the gifts you need to receive. And when you leave here today, remember that and help others to believe that for themselves. Let's have the invitation for communion. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The cup of salvation lifted high, God's love poured out for all.